John Gambling with special co-host Mayor Michael Bloomberg on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Now, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
And on a Friday John Gambling show, you're absolutely right, Bill Rock. Thank you. 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg is here. Good morning, sir. Happy New Year. Happy New Year to you as well. I saw you with those pretty girls.
Eat your heart out. Yeah. You know, I'm not sure Wendy would have been thrilled if it was you up there getting kissed by two tall, leggy girls each time, 5 times, 10 girls. Diana was there. As long as they didn't kiss me on the lips, I think she wasn't all upset. And then she got a big kiss. And my daughter was youngest.
And I saw you posing with the Rockettes with your leg up and your arm. You didn't make it.
I did not get my leg up high enough.
Sorry. But,
well, you know, there's a slight age difference between me. I could be their grandfather, I think.
I think you're probably right.
It was a lot of fun and nice
crowd.
Of them to do it.
Big crowd.
Big crowd. And like, you know, New Year's Eve every year at... It's safe. It's fun. The weather generally cooperates. It was warmer than I thought. I went out with a scarf and gloves and a big jacket and thinking, oh, it's going to freeze. But we were not cold out there.
No.
So it was good. And it was, we had some bad things in the year. Sandy wasn't helpful. There's always tragedies. But all in all, 2012, once again, year safer. You had Sal Cassano on earlier, I heard. Fire deaths, we had 58 this year. It's the lowest since 1916 when we started keeping records. We used to have, when Sal came into the fire department when he was a probie, I think he told me there were 310 that year. This year, 58.
No, it's amazing. We just spent a half hour.
And when you read
fantastic.
These stories in the paper, ginned up by people who don't like change in our 911 system, one of the reasons is a lot quicker response. And that saves lives. Even seconds save lives in ambulances. And one of the reasons life expectancy is better, if we get to you when you have a heart attack or a stroke 2 or 3 seconds earlier, on average, in one case it might not make a difference, but on average it really
does.
I've
also heard, too, that the decision on what hospital you are taken, dependent, obviously, on what your issue is, but if it's a heart attack or something, what hospital you go to can make a very big difference.
Yeah, it can make a very big difference. There are, you always want to go, if it is a simple thing, to the local community hospital because there's less craziness going on at the same time and fewer people, so probably fewer germs in the air and less chances of mistakes. But if you have something serious, that's when you want to go to the big teaching hospital.
In the trauma center.
Yeah, in Baltimore, there's this new children's hospital named after my mother. And, if you are in Baltimore and you're going to have a normal baby, do it at a community hospital, or you can do it at home. The results of midwives are actually pretty good. But if something goes wrong, that's when you really want to be with an ultimate cutting-edge professionals are. And we get you to the right hospitals. If you have a stroke, this hypothermia, they try to, I forget what they're called, they cool your body down.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
Stops a lot of the damage to your brain during the time. Only a handful of hospitals can do something like that. A lot of it's the luck of the draw, the ambulance that gets there, where you are at the time, what the traffic is. Can't control all those things. But there's no question that medicine is getting better in this city. It's part of life expectancy, bringing life expectancy up. And the fire department, if I listen to one more story ginned up by a couple of unions that aren't happy about, oh, this new 911 system isn't working. That's just not true. It is working. It does reduce response times. We have better measurements than ever before. And fewer people are dying. That's the real answer. And also, a lot of this is the buildings department. City Council and the mayor's office for a long time worked on, they hadn't revised the building code in decades. New building code, safer materials, better access, focusing on education. Fire department does a lot of education, does a lot of pushing on CO2 detectors and smoke detectors. All of those kinds of things add up to fewer fires and fewer deaths and fewer fire deaths of firefighters.
Last night, unfortunately, saw you standing in front of the television cameras up at the hospital.
Well, I was at the Knicks game, and just before halftime, one of the detectives told me that two cops had been shot in one place and one cop in another. Waited till the half. You know, it was we went off at halftime because it takes a while to get everybody to the hospitals and call the families and that sort of thing. And then I went up to the Bronx to visit the first one. Off-duty cop working in his family's car dealership. Two guys come in, rob the joint. He doesn't have a gun on him. Grabs one of them. The guy shoots him. Or one of the two perps shoots him. He holds on to the perp. He is shot, and he still managed to arrest the perp. The other one runs out. Of course, the cops get the two guys outside and the one who ran out, and he's got a shot through his leg. Nice guy. Couldn't be nicer. His wife was there. They have two young kids, live up in the Bronx. And then I went from the hospital up in the Bronx to the hospital in Brooklyn, where there are two cops. One guy, somebody had come, walked from one train to another. You're not allowed to do that because it's dangerous. They go over to question the guy. The guy says, I don't know. And the train stops, and the three of them start walking off. And for some reason, the perp pulls a gun, shoots one cop in the back. Fortunately, his bulletproof vest stops it, stops the bullets. He's got a welt, but didn't penetrate. And then the other guy gets shot a couple times in the leg, and the perp gets killed. You wonder what goes through people's minds. Once again, it's guns, too many guns.
And I'm assuming those are two illegal guns.
Well, number one, the perps always have, all these perps have criminal records, so by definition, they're illegal guns. Right. They can't have it legally. But, you know, as somebody said, as we all know who, a couple weeks ago, the only way you stop bad guys with guns is good guys with guns. Well, sometimes the good guys get shot. And you know, when you talk to the parents of one of these cops, as I did last night, or the spouse of one of these cops, they want their husbands or wives, whatever the case may be, or children, back. I was at a wake 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, for a firefighter, a fire officer, who had a heart attack on his way home from the job. And his young wife with two young kids, twin boys, as I remember, kept screaming to me, my children want their daddy back. How do I bring back the children's daddy? And in this case, it was a heart attack on a firefighter, but it's the same story of somebody, the firefighter died in the line of duty, saving you or me, or the cops tried to stop the bad guys. We've got to improve the fire situation, the building standards and response and that sort of thing. But in the case of police, it's guns, 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 and this craziness. You know, you can. There's a lot of factors going on in society, but no other civilized society in the entire world has this number of guns or this kind of murder rate. So for all the guns, we get less safe, not more safe.
And I was stunned at the numbers at the end of 2012, just last month, of the number of background checks that the FBI was requested of, a record-breaking numbers, two-some-odd million in just the month of December, with an annualized rate of gun permits of 20 million per year.
It's unbelievable. But at least those are cases where
legit.
The legit. 99% of gun dealers follow the law. If you do a background check, I think it takes on average 90 seconds. You plug in your name on a computer, it goes and checks, do you have a criminal record, do you have your minor, do you have substance abuse, psychiatric problems, whatever. The problem is that for 40% of the gun sales, which take place over the internet or at gun shows, nobody does background checks. And even you and I, if we were to sell privately a gun one to another, no background checks. There's nothing wrong with saying, John, if you're going to sell me a gun, you got to go to the local dealer, pay him $10, he'll plug the name in, and he'll get an answer. But that's the first thing, is that the background checks don't apply to 40% of the gun sales, the over-the-counter gun show slash internet. And the federal government doesn't put their data into this database, nor do a lot of states. Now, the federal government one I find inexcusable, because all Obama's got to do is sign one piece of paper, an executive order. The military, if they've got people with psychiatric problems they're getting out, put it into the database. And we saw it was last year, a couple of years ago, some guy gets discharged on a psycho thing and from the military, no record of it. He goes, buys a gun, gets it, and bang, 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 kills a number of people. But this is not that hard, and you just cannot. We were so lucky last night. Three firefighters shot in 1 hour, two different boroughs. They'll all be home in a few days. Two of them, I assume, today. And It could have been so much worse.
All right, Mr. Mayor, let me take my first break here. It's 19 minutes after 8 o'clock, and if you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg before... 22 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the John Gambling Show with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Let me ask you this. I don't mean to throw you a curve on this. How do you feel about the newspaper, the Journal News, up in Westchester and Putnam County, printing and publishing names of people that hold permits?
Well, it is public information. The public owns that data. On the other hand, I'm not so sure I'd think we should go publish everybody's tax return. You can argue the same thing that is, or everybody's psychiatric records if they, you know, have a dealings with. So in a public hospital, you really want that? I don't have enough.
I just don't know what I don't. I
yeah,
just
I don't
know what's gained by doing it. I don't know what the what's.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if my instincts would be no, but I can't give you a good argument, and it's. You know, also you're dealing there with the First Amendment, and you can make the same case. Go back to the Pentagon Papers, where you could have put the country, and maybe you did, who knows, the country or individual people's
at risk,
our agents overseas and that sort of thing. WikiLeaks, the same kind of thing. You know, you talk about the police department. We were asked, as I remember, years ago for permits, addresses, and we said no here in the city. And I think it was our decision, probably the right decision. Last Friday, I swore in a new class of police officers, speaking of police, 1,159, if I remember the number. They did it at the Barclays Center, and it was a great celebration for everybody. The 40% of the graduating class in the police department were college graduates. We keep raising the standard.
How many?
40%.
Wow.
Sanitation, you have to have a high school diploma these days. Fire department and police, you have to have college credits. But 40% of this class, 76 of them came from the military before. 1 in 5 immigrated to this country from 46 different other countries, and they speak 58 different languages. And, you know, you say, well, why does all that matter? Well, you know, the answer is it translates to the results. We had 418 murders, a record low. The previous low was back in 2009 of 471. We've had 19% lower than last year. And if we had the murder rates of some of these other cities, you would have people screaming, bloody murder is a pun, but you really would. If we had the same murder rate as Washington, we would have had 1,100 murders instead of 400. Chicago's 1,400 murders instead of 400. Philadelphia, 1,700 murders instead of our 400. Baltimore, 2,900 murders.
The comparable ratio.
2,900. Hit like this one. Detroit, 4,400 murders. 10 times the murder rate of us. Instead of 400, they had, it would have been 4,400. And record low number of shootings. Total crime was up a touch only because of stealing iPads and iPhones. Some reason the Apple products get stolen a lot more than the others. We've got to work
good
on that.
Good advertising.
Anyways.
Yeah. Tell me about the potential bus strike for Monday. School bus strike.
There's a number of different bus contracts for preschoolers, for special ed, for different categories, different locations, that sort of thing. The contracts are supposed to be rebid every few years. They have not been open to rebidding for 33 years. And the reason is that generally the unions who represent the workers at the companies that currently have the contracts, they don't work for the city, but they work for the bus companies that have these contracts. They insist and push the political process to say if you reopen it, the new company, if there is a new company, has to employ them at the same rate. Well, nobody's going to lower their bid if they have to do it. And so we did for, I think it was preschoolers, and it worked. A contract saved a lot of money. And this is a new another contract. This is for special ed kids, as I remember. We'll see what bidders come in. But if
at
they
the moment you have not gotten any bids. This
well,
strike is just over
just,
that question.
We just asked, you know, for bids. They haven't come in yet. The new contracts, assuming there are new contracts, will start next September. But the bottom line is we have an obligation. This is a lot of money, and you could use this money in the classroom.
I think I read $1 billion or something, isn't it?
I think the whole thing. Now, we aren't bidding them all yet. We will do another round after this as well. I hope the union exercises some judgment. The last time we did this 6 months ago, they did not strike. It was a different union, I think. But, you know, given our kids have already missed a week of school because of Sandy. Look, we have to spend our money wisely, and we have an obligation to constantly try to get best service at the lowest price. Somebody called me on my phone yesterday, and it was so obvious they were reading, "Hello, I am a parent, and I think it is an outrage that you won't let this group of bus drivers, this group of matrons on the bus do it." If they can apply for jobs, it's a free marketplace. The free marketplace applies to John Gambling and to Mike Bloomberg and should to everybody else. And it's also interesting that what the union really asks for is that we say the new contract bids have to provide for the same people to have their jobs. The law says you can't do that. So there was a court ruling on this. We cannot legally do what they want. And incidentally, we wouldn't do it anyways.
All right. So I understand from talking with Dennis Walcott earlier in the week that provisions would be made in light of a strike?
Yeah, you have to keep records, but we pay if you drive your kid in. We have, we've got to deal with the MTA to get a whole bunch of Metro cards, and we'll do all of that. You know, when you get to education, more importantly is the fact that it just doesn't seem like the teachers union wants to come to an evaluation deal. If you remember, Governor Cuomo passed a bill that so there's money for cities and counties if
they... 2 weeks from yesterday. The 17th.
You're right. But you have to have it done and approved by the 17th, plan, the evaluation plan. But if you get a good evaluation plan, then you get the money. If you don't have an evaluation plan, you don't get the money. New York would lose $250 million, I think $250, $280, something like that, $100 million. And the problem with the law is the union has to agree. This union has walked away. They've told Dennis Walcott to his face, the head of the union, we're not negotiating. We want to talk about other things. Their staffs told our staff. They wrote a letter saying it. And then they say, oh, we didn't say that. Well, come on. It's well documented. And then I'm told they're starting running ads against me today.
I just saw one earlier this morning.
You know, yes. If you want a contract, that's not exactly the kind of body language you'd think that would get you one. I mean, that just says, this is ridiculous. We want a contract. And then they go out and do everything to not get a contract. The teachers... Nobody cares about teachers more than I. Education is our signature issue. We raise teachers' salaries. We always try new things. We're closing schools and opening new ones. Our teacher corps has done a phenomenal job of improving education in this city. Having said all of that, there just isn't more money to pay our municipal workforce. And the teachers, on average, get for the first 20 years they work there, they get a 3% raise every year. So this business that they're not getting raises is just ridiculous. And in any case, the city doesn't have any money. And then they talk about retroactive raises the next mayor will give them. What's the next mayor going to do? Print money? You'd have to raise property taxes and have the state raise the city income tax. It'd be chaos. There is no money. And this retroactive. You and I don't get retroactive raises, and the public doesn't get retroactive raises, and this has nothing to do. This is going to hurt the teachers if we don't come to an evaluation system, partially because we're going to get $280 million less money from the state, but also it hurts the teachers. Teachers want to work with the best, and most of them are not in sympathy with the union. There's a small group in the union that is, and that's typical of a organization like that, and it's typical of a Congress, it's typical of unions, it's typical of companies, I guess, where a small group really is carrying the ball and the others aren't necessarily in agreement. NRA is another place where the membership, if you do the polling, doesn't agree with the leadership. But in this case, there's a handful of teachers who we could help and aren't doing a good job, but we could help them. There's a handful of teachers who aren't doing a good job and they shouldn't be in front of the classroom, shouldn't be in the system. And we have to find out legitimately which is which. And touchy-feely kinds of stuff doesn't work. The touchy-feely kind of stuff sounds good, but when your kid gets out of school and goes and looks for a job, There's no touchy-feely kind of test. The kid can read or can't read, can do math, can't do math, understands history, doesn't understand history, can work collaboratively and collectively, can't work collaboratively and collectively. These are real-world tests. And you start, you talk to the parents of kids who are graduating from high school and going, can't get a job, going to junior college, can't need a lot of remedial work, can't get into the good colleges, or when they get out, can't get a job. And you say, look, we've got to do something and improve the school system. And in the end, it is teacher quality, teacher quality, teacher quality. It'd be great to have more facilities, smaller class sizes, all those stuff. But the most important thing is individual teachers. And with individual teachers, the most important thing is that you get rid of the worst ones, you help those who can get help, and you support the best. And this ad they're running says, we want a deal. But they won't come to the table to talk, and they're wasting their members' money.
Well, that's the point that struck me, is why are they spending whatever hundreds of thousands of dollars it costs to put a television
on? If there's ever a way to force somebody to not come to an agreement, it's to run ads calling them bad things. I mean, what kind of a strategy is this? And they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. So they're deliberately trying to keep us from having a contract. It's the only rational explanation from wasting their members' money on running ads.
If you've got a question for Mayor Michael Bloomberg, we'll make some time before we finish up. 800-321-0710. 800-321-0710. Let me take a break. 9 o'clock with Mayor Michael Bloomberg. What do you hear, or what's your guess on this Sandy money? A big flap, obviously, with Governor Christie and Congressman King and the rest.
Speaker Boehner and Majority Leader Cantor. I've talked to thousands and thousands, and it seems like thousands and thousands of times. Both assure me that the bills will come up. We believe there are the votes there to pass it. It'll have to go back to the Senate, but the votes are there to pass it. It'll come a few weeks later than I would have liked. But, you know, it's easy to go criticize, and it's the guy who's running a legislature, as anybody that's ever done it will tell you, it is not easy.
Herding cats.
It's herding cats. And they just passed a big tax bill with a lot of dissension about no spending cuts, and I assume that the speaker thought it was not a good time at that night to bring up a $60 billion bill. And I think if you go back, there was similar kinds of stories when Katrina had it about it takes the legislative process, number one, takes time. Number two, there's this Christmas tree effect where legislators put in their favorite bills and tack them on to something. The administration does that. That's why I have an omnibus bill to force everybody to vote things that would never stand up in the light of day if they were individual. And you say, well, why don't we have an individual vote and everything? Because none of the stuff you want would ever get done any more than even though the other stuff wouldn't, and the other stuff wouldn't either. So, you know, I'm sympathetic. Yelling and screaming at them is just not my style, and I don't know that it may be effective. It may not be. Everybody's got to make their own decisions. I think the legislative leaders who criticize and those in the legislature should stop and think they do exactly the same thing in terms of ladling on things that are totally extraneous, but it's the only ways they get them through, and in timing their procedures to suit the political realities of who's there, who isn't, what other things have to get done, what order. And, you know, going into high dungeon, as long as you've got the commitment of Boehner and Cantor that it's going to come to the floor and get done, our job is not to yell and scream and at people whose votes we're going to need, not just for this, but for everybody. But listen, everybody, nobody can criticize Governors Cuomo and Christie for not trying. They really do have worked hard on this. Pete King has certainly worked hard. But their style of, you know, expressing frustration is not my style. It doesn't mean they're wrong. I have a different approach to it. And together, everybody helps in the end. And all that matters is we get it done.
We have not.
And I think this will get done.
We have not spoken since the deficit reduction or the cliff thing past the tax reduction thing or increase thing. What your reaction to what they did or didn't do?
Well, they raised taxes on 90-odd percent of the people in spite of all of this stuff.
Which I mean, most people don't realize.
In government speak, you know, when they have cuts, they're not cuts. They don't spend less. They just don't spend more as much more as they were going to spend more. It's cuts against, that's the real world. Government accounting is very different. When you refinance, you take all of the, at lower rates, you take all the savings right now. So down the road, you didn't save anything. You did save something right now. And the cost of refinancing is built into the lower rate. A lower rate is part of it. So you're just swapping. It's an accounting thing more than anything else. We did not do anything to address the deficit. If anything, we made it worse. There are some spending bills that are were added on this. There was some spending, additional spending. Yeah. Virtually no cuts.
$620 billion.
Right. They didn't raise taxes enough to make a difference. There was this punitive thing of let's go after and soak the rich, which I think just terrible. I don't have any problems with graduated income taxes or any kind of graduated taxes or means tests, but you have a continuum. You don't have a step function. Number one, it doesn't work because people try to play games to get on one side or the other. Number two, the whole essence of this country is there's opportunity for everybody. You may not be as lucky as I. Maybe your kids will be luckier than my kids. Your grandkids will be luckier than mine, but everybody's in this together. And I've always thought, I've said it 1,000 times, they should have raised taxes on everybody. And in fact, they did. They just did it with this one step function, which is a bad idea. And they didn't do it enough. If we are ever going to tackle a deficit, you have to make sure everybody pays. And you can't just soak the rich. There aren't that many rich. They don't have that much money in comparison to the vast bulk of the people who are in the middle class. And then on the expense side, everybody talks about expenses. Not one peep on either side of the aisle on what they'd really do. President talked about we got to reduce, everybody agrees entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security are the big things that are going to bankrupt us. We've got to do something about that. And we've got to reduce our costs. Reducing costs means paying doctors less. I don't know how many, it's 10 years of education to become a doctor. You can't possibly do it at the rate doctors are getting paid. Some doctors now are supposed to treat $20 a patient, you know, treat five patients an hour. I don't know that you want your doctor to do that to you. And so you get what you pay for. If we keep squeezing hospitals, they're not going to have the research. We're not going to have the new doctors. We're not going to have the techniques and the beds and everything we need. But nobody notices that for years. And that's unfortunately what this has degenerated in. And I thought Simpson and Bowles, Erskine, I saw on television, said exactly the right thing. We did nothing to solve the deficit problem, which was the objective here. In fact, what we did is we took care of some special interests, whether it's one guy's campaign for higher office or...
Don't you love it when the Puerto Rican rum board gets, you know, a
very deserving.
Break.
Very deserving. Maybe they are. I don't know. I mean, I'm not here to knock anybody else's. You know, I would argue that Sandy money, for example, is a legitimate expense. We tried to document everything that the city would use the money for. I'm sure the states did as well. You know, where there's all sorts. I once said, well, we'll give up for New York City. We'll give up any agricultural money in return for whatever we were trying to get. And it turns out we had a small grant, a couple $100,000 to train kids to work on pruning trees or something. I forget what it was, but it was a tiny bit of ag money. But then the farm bill was, everybody agrees that the farmers, well, we've gone from half the population working in farms to 2% working in farms. Way, way, way different economy. And today, everybody said, oh, the farm bills are costing us, there's too many guarantees. They made it worse. There's a farm bill that just passed that guaranteed farmers more. And it's not your average little farmer that we see in Norman Rockwell.
It's all the big ones.
Right. I mean, do they need it or should they be running the risks in a volatile business? Now, they would argue and their supporters would argue one thing. And then they'd turn to us and say, but aren't you being hypocritical? Because you want some, and they're right. We want some things for ours. You want some things for yours.
You know, I think of you occasionally when we talk about things like this. There was that whole milk crisis deal that was being touted a week or so ago because of this farm bill not being enacted. They enacted it Because a law that was passed in 1949 about milk price stabilization, still on the books, has never really been ever used again. But if they let it lapse, rather than removing it out of the existence, if they let it lapse, it would have doubled the price of milk because they would have, by law, had to take stuff. But they never take anything out.
No.
It never goes away.
No. That's the deal of cigarette in government, sadly. The way I describe it, a program in business, if you are selling product A and B, and A is selling well and B is not, and you work very hard to make B better, but you can't, you close the production line, you move your monies and the people over to A that works. In government, you do the reverse. Why? Because nobody is on the steps of City Hall saying, thank you for this program that works. But there are people on the steps of City Hall saying, you've got to put more money into B. Why? Because the people who work delivering the services or getting the service in B want more. And they're afraid if you show that it doesn't work. And that's the whole thing of evaluation and looking to see. It's interesting. You look at the Robin Hood Foundation, which is this big foundation, in all fairness and disclosure, my oldest daughter works for them. A lot of money. They raise hundreds of millions of dollars.
I spoke with the CEO 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Great organization. They give a lot of money to charity. They are one of these organizations that demands results and says, if you want it, show us that it works. Bloomberg Foundation. We actually try to measure, and when we give you grants for X number of years, after that we stop and say, okay, now we're not going to do the same thing. What can you do better? If you've got other ideas, come back and make another presentation. But you're not going to just have this forever and don't have to produce results.
Is there a way to change government along the lines we were just the narrow lines we were just talking about?
There is.
Or is that just folly?
It depends it depends on your definition of ways. I can tell you how to do it.
Oh, I know you can tell me how to do it, but I mean, are there ways to do it with the environment?
Typically, in crises, people do it. Legislators do it. We have lasted with a democracy 235 years, so let's not. And the good old days, as my mother used to say, were never the good old days. But it does typically take crises to force people to make difficult decisions. And somebody wrote an editorial today talking about Boehner having to come to an agreement and getting something done. Boehner did a pretty good job here. He's got a very fractious group of Republicans, some of whom are very conservative, some of whom are not, some of whom want to come to compromises, some who don't. His job as a leader, and Mitch McConnell's and the same thing on the other side, their job is play the best hand that you can, do the right thing for the country, try to help your party, but in the end you have an obligation as an American. And I think both did. Now, you know, a lot of people yell and scream, oh, they've been terrible. The other side has not been any better. I have not seen one cut coming from the Democratic side that is meaningful. Everybody talks about doing it, but not one proposal. And the Republicans haven't done lots of proposals either. There's just no glory here. But it's democracy, and that's the way democracy works. And you stumble along, and you always think it's the worst it's ever been, but it's not.
Did you see the governor's commission on education, their recommendations that he's going to talk about in the State of the State?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he says.
Dick Parsons' group.
Anything that you can do to improve
longer
education?
Longer school day? I mean, you think?
Yeah, but who's going to pay for it? I mean, can you get the teachers to work longer without more money? Probably not. Is there any more money? The taxpayers say no. And incidentally, the teachers' union wants higher raises for the existing hours and the existing teachers. There's just a limited number of things, and we can promise things down the road. In typical government, we promise it, and then we don't deliver. And then both sides say, ah, you see, they protected me. They didn't spend any more money. Oh, you see, they protected me. They promised me more money. So I'd be interested to see what the governor says about fracking, for example. There's been lots of leaks. I don't know what.
Yeah, we talked about that this morning. Yeah.
My position has always been not in the watershed. Elsewhere, yes. Why not in the watershed? Because I don't know if there's a risk or not. I'm not that smart. I don't think anybody is. You can't jeopardize that. But should you do it? Absolutely. We need nuclear and we need fracking because coal is killing, I think it's 13 or 30, I forget the number, 1,000 Americans a year.
And the fracking
pollutants and the other stuff, I don't know how bad it is, but it's nowhere as near as bad.
In New York State, the fracking is natural gas, which can run the turbines.
That's the point, that we need to switch to nuclear and to natural gas and to wind and to hydro and to solar, but the only one that's practical now in any size and can get going reasonably quickly is natural gas. And the reason all of a sudden we have this natural gas is this new technology, which we've been doing for 50 years. It's just getting better.
Right.
Which do you want? Breathe the stuff that comes out of coal-fired plants, which produce, I think, like a third of all the pollutants in this country. And people say, well, China's not changing. China is very worried about polluting. All of a sudden, they've got 150 million people who say, we want clean air.
Well, they're also getting sick.
And China is, in some cases, doing more pro-environmental stuff than America. Now, I remember one time I was in Seattle and some congressman said, Mr. Bloomberg, Mayor Bloomberg, you're telling me you will, you want to, Mayor Bloomberg, we're not going to stop polluting until the Chinese stop polluting. And I said, Congressman, you're telling me we should continue to kill our people as long as they're killing their people? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. He wasn't happy about that. But the bottom line is, we've got to do our own thing, and we've got to encourage them to do their own thing.
All right, Mr. Mayor, we got some folks on the telephone here. Let us take a quick break and get to them. I see 9 o'clock. Mr. Mayor, take up that headphone right there.
Got it on.
Let me see if I can push the right button here. We got Lou from Brooklyn. Hello, Lou.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Hi, Lou. How are you?
You with the bigger problem, the Coney Island boardwalk, where your parks department maladvises you to replace it with cement. The proof of the pudding lays in Manhattan Beach, right after Brighton Beach and the end of the Coney Island boardwalk. Comes sand, and then comes what once was the Esplanade, a beautiful cement walkway that ran around 15 blocks throughout the perimeter of Manhattan Beach. Take a look at the shambles. In fact, I saw it firsthand.
Okay, Lou, look, the issues here really are which survives on average better. There is cement that gets carried away. There's wood that gets carried away. The cement is just much more durable. And the wood in this day and age, you have environmental problems because the hardwood you use comes out of some of these rainforests and there isn't that much left. I think I understand the people for historic reasons want the wood, but the practical answer here is most of it will get replaced with cement. And, you know, not everybody's going to be happy. But
you know what you
just
can do? You can get those rubber mats, which you can actually imprint the cement to make it look like wood.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look that much different, but it is. I mean, and a lot of people agree with Lou, and I respect his request, but it's going to turn out, I think, to be cement.
All right, we'll move on here. Let's see here. Number three is Fran. Hello, Fran. You got the mayor's ear.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to everybody.
Good.
I just want to compliment the mayor on the services that I received through Accessoroid and the MTA. They just are been so good for me. I'm able to get to my doctors, to my hospital.
Fran, I'm glad to hear it. In the interest of full disclosure, I must admit that Accessoroid, I think, is run by the MTA, and the MTA is a state agency, so you should call the governor and give him the credit for it. But when I see him, I'll tell him that you were happy about it.
It's one of the major expenses that the MTA has.
Accessoroid is right. I mean, you have a lot of Accessoroid cars, vans, whatever, with only one passenger. The trouble is that you can fill it up, but then it's nowhere as near as convenient, because you got to make lots of stops. There's no good answer here. We've played with some things of giving people vouchers for taxis, and if there were more taxis in the outer boroughs, that would be something that probably would make some sense. But I'm glad that Accessoroid's doing a good job.
Is
and
your
here's
outer
a happy
borough
user.
Taxi idea done?
No, we're waiting for a court decision. Hopefully we will win that. But it's good, and I will tell the governor, all kidding aside, when I see him in the State of the City next
week. That
Fran was happy.
Okay, Arlene in Manhattan. Hello, Arlene.
Hi.
Hi.
Quickly about ambulance and fire trucks. Number one, couldn't you empower the school crossing guards? They stand around and watch the traffic do nothing. Number two, could you educate the public drivers as to what to do when they hear an EMS vehicle?
Yep.
Number three, could you enforce that with tickets?
Yes, no, I think if I remember the questions. It's hard, you know, the the traffic agents do a good job. They're out there, and a lot of people don't even pay attention to them. And so, you know, you look and you see somebody standing on the side. And if they were in the middle of the road, would it make it any better? I don't know. We do try to inform the public. There are these fire lanes as you drive down the street. You see it's a fire only or whatever, buses only, whatever. Some people follow it. Some people don't. You know, can you give tickets out? Well, I don't know. What do you want the truck to stop and say to the cop? No, I've got a picture. I can show you this guy wouldn't move. No, you want the guy to get to the fire. In the end, the ambulances and fire engines are getting quicker to the scene where they needed, quicker than ever before. If people would listen to you, Arlene, and pay more attention, it would be even better than that. Now we have time for one more?
Yeah, sure. Well, you just tell me which one you want to do here.
Six.
Asher. Number six. Is it Asher? Asher, good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Mayor. How are you?
Good.
I'll be quick. I have a couple of quick ideas regarding developing the MTA further to the next generation.
Do you have a question, though?
Okay,
because we're almost
running out of time.
Yeah, it's a question. I'll be very quick. Less than 60 seconds.
No, not even.
Coming.
Okay, here's the deal. In Manhattan, the 2nd Avenue line and the 7 line extension was like $1 billion a mile, very expensive. In Brooklyn, there's an abandoned Long Island Railroad Bay Ridge branch that crosses all the Brooklyn. It's the only line that goes east-west in Brooklyn. And
I'll take a look at it. It's a good idea. I don't know whether it's practical or not. You know, the MTA is a state agency. They're underfunded. The legislature doesn't give them money. We had this idea of tolling the bridges and using the money to help the MTA. Everybody loved the idea except the legislature. They've never come up with a better idea. I'd love to hear if you've got some other ideas. You can stay on the line, and we'll take down some of your ideas.
All right, I will.
And I'll get back to you.
Very good. I'll put him on hold like I just did there.
And Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Looking forward to it.
All right, Mayor Michael Bloomberg here on the John Gambling Show. Coming up, we're going to be talking about restauranting with a guy. Yeah, sure,
just go ahead. For one more thing, Mark Lavonia tells 13,000 people a year in America die from the effects of coal, and it costs us $100 billion in annual health care costs. If that isn't some reason why to do fracking, I don't know what is.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Let's go to the latest news. In for Joe Bartlett, Alice Stockton-Rose.